Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Good morning. Today is Friday, January 15th, and I'm your host, Steve Brown. Our top stories today. Big banks kick off earnings season. Stimulus cheer plus cost worries. And IPO and SPAC interest surges into 2021. Leading today's news. Banks are set to formally kick off the Q4 earnings season this morning, including results from JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo. It'll be the first set of earnings since the Fed gave lenders the green light to resume share buybacks, which were halted in March 2020 and banned by the central bank in June on fears of a steep recession from the coronavirus pandemic. However, the top U.S. lenders ended 2020 in good shape amid strong mortgage demand, healthy trading revenue, and an economy kept afloat by generous government stimulus. The banks are expected to announce $10 billion of stock repurchases in the first quarter of 2021, in a move that should please many investors. Big picture. Shareholders will be analyzing the financials behind the share buybacks. In December, the Fed announced that banks could pay up to a maximum of the average of the previous four quarters' earnings in combined dividends and buybacks, setting a cap on how much they could shell out in Q1. Banks may also give broader guidance on how they expect buybacks to progress for the rest of the year. An interesting bank to watch will be Wells Fargo, whose earnings have been pretty low and will be most constrained on what it can do per Fed guidance. Analysts forecast the company will sharply increase its loan loss provisions, which may mean it could skip a buyback altogether this quarter in favor of a dividend. Its troubled financial situation has been compounded by the billions of dollars in costs and tarnished reputation related to its fake accounts scandal that came to light in 2016. Analysis. The recent outperformance by financials, alongside energy, is part of a broader rotation in the market, which has begun to beat the sectors that outperformed last year, such as consumer discretionary and technology, said Todd Gordon, founder of TradingAnalysis.com. We've come a long way in the financials, all the way back to the pre-credit crisis high of 2007. If they do sell the news a little bit in earnings here in the next week or two, I'll be looking to add, specifically in the dividend portfolios, for a little bit of yield. In other news, President-elect Joe Biden began laying out his economic agenda last night, saying he would ask Congress for $1.9 trillion in immediate relief to fight the coronavirus pandemic. The plan includes $1,400 per person direct payments to most households, a $400 a week unemployment insurance supplement through September, as well as funds for COVID testing, vaccine distribution, and state and local governments. The proposal is the first phase of a two-part strategy, with a broader program to be unveiled in subsequent weeks, focused on infrastructure and climate change. Not only is further fiscal aid on the table, but Fed Chair Jerome Powell doubled down on the monetary side, as weekly jobless benefit claims rose to their highest level since last August. Now is not the time to be talking about exit from easy money policies, he said in a webcast with Princeton University, pledging to give plenty of notice before scaling back the central bank's bond buying program. In addition to high unemployment, inflation isn't on a path to reaching 2% on a sustained basis, even though it might shoot higher this year. Thought bubble. Biden's plan includes ideas that Republicans have rejected, including raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, while some legislation will need 60 votes in the Senate, which would require GOP members to get on board. Joe Biden did not propose a COVID package tonight. He proposed a liberal takeover of the American economy, said Missouri Republican Representative Jason Smith, the top Republican on the House Budget Committee. Americans aren't asking for trillions of dollars in new spending. They just want our government to open our economy, get their kids back to school, and create jobs. Analysis. All three major averages rose on Thursday, only to give up their gains in the final hour of the trading session. Stock index futures were also lower overnight, with the Dow down 0.5%. The S&P 500 down 0.5%, and the NASDAQ down 0.3%. Right now, markets are celebrating the additional stimulus and see it as a stronger bridge to a fully reopened economy, said Jeff Buchbinder, equity strategist for LPL Financial, On the other side of it, there's the chance that markets will have to pay for this in the form of sharply higher interest rates or tax hikes that could cap equity valuations. The furious pace of IPOs and SPACs is showing no sign of letting up anytime soon, as savvy companies and big-shot investors take advantage of the easy money sloshing around in financial markets. Case in point, Affirm, a company that helps consumers finance online purchases, finished its trading debut up 98% on Wednesday, giving a nice shot in the arm for Shopify, which holds about 20 million shares through warrants. Petco went public for the third time on Thursday, soaring 63%. And valuing the retailer at more than $6 billion. Bigger picture. Traders are hoping to cash in on the current trends, given the solid performance of newly public companies. The Renaissance IPO ETF smashed the return of the S&P 500 in 2020, climbing 110% in 2020, compared to the 18.4% advance for the benchmark index. The fund isn't a catch-all for all new names, as it sticks with IPO stocks for a while. Peloton, Uber, Zoom Video, and CrowdStrike are all still listed as top holdings. Another question entertained by companies is how they should go public. While the traditional IPO system can give favored clients the first-day pop, Wall Street banks charge a fee of around 7% to get a firm on an exchange. As a result, direct listings and SPACs have also seen outsized activity over the last year. Why are SPACs becoming popular, besides the fees? 1. They can offer liquidity at a time of stock market volatility. 2. The traditional IPO process can take anywhere from several months to a year, as negotiations with institutional investors play out, though some SPAC deals are reported to only take weeks and could provide better price support. 3. SPACs are light on the regulatory side, no S1 filing, and aren't subject to the IPO lockup rule. A tech and healthcare coalition that includes members like Microsoft, Oracle, Salesforce, and U.S. nonprofit Mayo Clinic are working together to create a COVID-19 vaccination passport. The Vaccination Credential Initiative, or VCI, would allow businesses, airlines, and countries to check if people have received a coronavirus vaccine to demonstrate their health status to safely return to travel, work, school, and life while protecting their data privacy. How would it work? VCI's vision is to empower individuals to obtain an encrypted digital copy of their immunization credentials to store in a digital wallet of their choice. Those without smartphones could receive paper printed with QR codes containing W3C verifiable credentials. Some hurdles. Privacy and ethical concerns surround whether a person who can prove they are vaccinated should have more freedoms than someone who is not. Another obstacle is getting health centers to participate. Even if they would want to, they would need resources to incorporate these credentials to VCI's digital standard. People in the U.S. are currently given paper cards when they get their COVID-19 vaccinations, while patient information is logged in their state immunization registries. Looking abroad, Israel is launching a green passport program to residents who have received a vaccine or those who have recovered from COVID with antibodies. The passport will lift some restrictions, including mandatory quarantine following exposure to an infected person or traveling abroad, and may even be used for visiting malls or attending cultural and sporting events. The country of 9 million people has been lauded for deploying what is currently the fastest COVID vaccination campaign in the world, with 25% of its citizens inoculated with the first dose in just 3 weeks, as well as 72% of its population over the age of 60. The Trump administration has added smartphone maker Xiaomi to a blacklist of alleged Chinese military companies, sending its Hong Kong-listed shares down 10.6% on Friday. The move means that Xiaomi is now subject to a November executive order restricting American investors from buying the company's shares or related securities. Statement from the DoD. The department is determined to highlight and counter the People's Republic of China's military-civil fusion development strategy, which supports the modernization goals of the People's Liberation Army by ensuring its access to advanced technologies and expertise acquired and developed by even those PRC companies, universities, and research programs that appear to be civilian entities. Response from Xiaomi. The company reiterates that it provides products and services for civilian and commercial use. The company confirms that it is not owned, controlled, or affiliated with the Chinese military, and is not a communist Chinese military company defined under the NDAA. Xiaomi's stock has more than doubled in the past 12 months, and it has been rapidly gaining market share. In the third quarter of 2020, it surpassed Apple to become the world's third largest smartphone maker, according to Gartner and Counterpoint Research. Go deeper. Xiaomi has not been put on the Commerce Department's entity list, which restricts companies from exporting U.S. origin technology to firms without a license. That means Xiaomi will be able to continue using chips from Qualcomm and the Android operating system. As of 6:20 a.m. today, U.S. futures, crude oil, and Bitcoin are all set to open in the red, with gold flat. On today's economic calendar, retail sales are out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to rate and review it below. Your feedback is deeply appreciated.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.